Okay? The total amount of suffering per year in the natural world is beyond all decent contemplation. During the minute it takes me to compose this sentence, thousands of animals are being eaten alive. Many others are running for their lives, whimpering with fear. Others are slowly being devoured from within by rasping parasites. Thousands of all kinds are dying of starvation, thirst, and disease. It must be so. If there ever is a time of plenty, this very fact will automatically lead to an increase of population until the natural state of starvation and misery is restored. In a universe of electrons and selfish genes, that's DNA, blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt. Other people are going to get lucky. And you won't find any rhyme or reason for it, nor any justice. The universe that we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is, at bottom, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but pitiless indifference. This is the atheistic worldview. This is what Marx offered the world, Darwin offered the world, and it was supposedly Darwin that cured the problem of the appearance of design. That now, and Dawkins wrote this book called The Blind Watchmaker, because somebody said, if you're walking through a forest and you find a watch on the ground, you will automatically assume that it was created. So Dawkins wrote the answer back called The Blind Watchmaker, that nature itself is the watchmaker, and all of this appearance of design is purely accidental. So, this is the atheistic worldview. There's some others.
Michael, do you mind my asking, in your, not that you have any like empirical evidence, but in your estimation, what percentage, let's just stick to America, people are true, pure atheists? I mean, they will hold to that to the bitter end.
Somewhere between 3% and 8%.
Yeah, because I didn't think it was that high.
Right. But they command an authority that is almost comprehensive. Nobody I've ever talked to has ever not heard of millions of years. Nobody has ever not heard of evolution. And or maybe they don't know exactly what you described a little bit, apes, the man, kind of, oh yeah, everybody's heard of it. Their influence is pervasive.
Right, but the pure Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens of the world are really not that many.
There's a small percent. Yeah. But see, in the whole world, there were in the whole Soviet Union, there were only 3% communists.
Right.
That were milk carton carrying members of the Communist Party, but they control, and their influence ultimately is spread to half the world's population with ebbs and flows of the Marxist mindset. So,
let me ask one last follow-up question. Sure. What's been your experience in Cheyenne? Would you say it's even less than that? As you engage with people and
at this LCCC, it's pretty high.
Okay.
In academic institutions and even among school teachers, it's higher.
Even in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Education is sort of the point. That's how we get the next generation properly trained.
Mm-hmm.
But Discover Magazine, National or American.
Some other magazine.
National Geographic.
Nature.
But there's Nature. All of those are dedicated. Scientific American, that's the one I was trying to think of. That was originally a Christian publication that has been totally taken over. And I wrote a letter to the editor in July 2002. They published the top 15 ways to refute the creationist nonsense article available. And I wrote them a letter saying, really, this is the best you got? You just made my job a whole lot easier. Because it's so weak. It's unbelievably weak. And it's in November of 2016, Royal Academy of Sciences in London held this big meeting because among the inside professionals who are doing the science, it is clearly known Darwinism has no creative ability. The whole DNA replication process cannot create anything new. Like a mouse front limb turning into a wing on its way to becoming a bat. That cannot happen. It is known. But yet, the evangelists and the population at large will not hear that. Because it is the death knell of their faith. And we'll get into that in a little bit here. So,
thank you. I have not experienced much high percentage of these kinds of people.
There is Gabrielle on YouTube, the response to what about the peaceful Muslims? The peaceful people in any society are irrelevant because they don't control the agenda. It was the Marxists in the Soviet Union that controlled the agenda. It is the radical Muslims within Islam that control the agenda. The ones who make things happen are a very small percentage. The percentage of Nazis in Germany were very small. Most of the population was peaceful. Most of the Russians were peaceful. Most of the Chinese are peaceful. Most of the Vietnamese are peaceful. Most of the Cambodians are peaceful. But they are irrelevant. And that's her whole point. The larger population is irrelevant when it comes to social movements. A small percentage. That's why we can so easily change the course of this country. Easily. But there's no coherent without the vision that people perish.
Well, I mean, name a mainstream seminary that hasn't compromised with biblical foundations.
Yes.
They all have.
That's part of this idea here, the center of gravity. Where is it? If the center of gravity is here, nature, the material world, if everything starts and has to be explained from here, this is the atheistic worldview. This is all there is, there ain't no more. So, where do these fit in? AIUs, abstract, mental things, immaterial, they don't exist here, so it's outside. Invariant, they don't change with time, and they're universal. Go anywhere on the world and everybody understands 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. If you have 2 coconuts and 2 pineapples, you have 4 objects. Go anywhere on the planet, and this is true, it's universal. But numbers don't exist in nature. They exist here, they're abstract. And they're all reflections of the nature of God. And when you combine these two together, that's what the soul. God took the dust of the ground, breathed into us the breath of life, and we became a living soul. Intellect, emotions, and will. This is kind of where the center of this whole comes from. It's intellect. Most of apologetics deals with the intellect. But rebellion lives here in the will. Mm-hmm. You have absolutely proven to me that there is a God and I must submit to Him, but I won't do it. I hate the light. I love the darkness. I love my sin. And I won't do it. In fact, I will work overtime like these atheists do to suppress that knowledge, Romans 1. Anything that smacks of God. So the separation of church and state, we got to keep anything that smacks of God away from these young, moldable minds. And we use the court system to do it, if necessary. So the whole thing is just all for the Romans 1, suppression of the knowledge of God. And our battle, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, is to use the weapons that God has given us to combat those ideas that have been raised up against the knowledge of God. And the whole Darwinian Enlightenment project was to suppress the knowledge of God. And what happens? We just go with the flow.
Because we don't want to look foolish.
Seminaries change, and I don't can't imagine all the reasons, but wanting to fit in is a huge part of it. So the center of gravity determines how we even see reality. We see reality starting from here, then this, you know, according to the pure materialist atheists, these don't even exist. And some of them, like Friedrich Nietzsche, ultimately went insane in the end of his life because not even words had meaning. And that's where we are in the postmodern world. That nothing has any meaning. Because this center of gravity is not here. When we start with God, then the world just all comes into focus. How things are, the way things are, takes some effort, especially undoing the damage is going to be our largest project. So, kind of on the back side of this, it's a letter to the Answers in Genesis website. It says, get over your childish, self-pacifying beliefs and deal with the fact that the world is senseless.
Where are you?
Right to
three quarters of the way down.
The back of that.
Well,
three quarters
of the way. Well, I see it. I see it. Thank you.
So there's all kinds of this. Get over. Even as the Big Bang, Edwin Hubble and his team were noticing that everything, the redshift is indicating that everything is leaving, getting further away from us. And what also we see is that no matter what direction we look, it's all leaving about the same amount. Now, we got two choices here. And this is the second paragraph down on the back. We got two choices. It appears that everything is leaving in all directions because it is, which puts the Earth at somewhere near the center of the universe, which is what, no philosophy, which gives the Earth a privileged position. We can't have that. Hubble and his team are atheists. We can't have that. We can't have anything that indicates that maybe somehow Earth is special. Because now people are going to start talking about God and all that stuff. And the Big Bang was invented to get rid of God. So what they completely restructured, and he said, well, it looks that way from every point in space. And one of the consequences, the universe has no center. See, we've got to get rid of the center, and it has no edge. And just like on the surface of the Earth, we can head off from any direction, never change course, and end up right back where we started from. Right? And picture a globe, we just take off, and we just follow the curvature of the Earth and come right back to where we started. We've never changed course. Always flying straight and true. And that's how space is. We can head off. Star Trek did a couple episodes of using a good idea. But it's head off in any direction, never change course, and eventually end up right back where we started. That's the nature of the Big Bang mathematics. For the purpose of depriving Earth of a unique position. We just can't allow that. So in large-scale cosmologies, the purpose is to eliminate God, to suppress the knowledge of God. Now, in this picture, and then you can read some of these others, and there's some figures. Like at the very first one under the word quotes of C.S. Lewis, it is not so much I believe in God because I see him. It is through him that I see everything else properly. He is in thy light, we see light. It is in the illumination of God that we see things properly. But there's something missing with this picture. Because anytime you start getting into a discussion about God, well, there's Allah, there's Yahweh, there's Jesus, there's, and then there's the pantheon of the polytheistic gods. So which God are we talking about? And so whenever we're going to be talking about God, we're going to be using the biblical definition. And Second Corinthians 4:4. We are talking about always and forever that God.
The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Okay, and then go on.
For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord.
I'm looking, it's the God who said. And it's right in there somewhere.
Okay.
Where is God?
God who said, let light shine.
Yes.
So that's 6.
Verse 6.
People come up with these, and in the beginnings of the debate, they want to define God, but it's the God who created. That is the God we're talking about. The God who said, let there be light. And that's all through the Old Testament. And there's I'll have another one with those scriptures. The God who created all things. That is the God we're talking about. And I'm going to start in the case of Allah. There's no mention about his creation. His creation is corrupt. So did he make it corrupt or did it become corrupt? But they don't talk about how or why and that kind of stuff. It just is. So we're talking about the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which all religions in the world deny, except Orthodox Christianity. And a violation of any one of these monotheistic, yes, Islam, Judaism, Christianity are monotheistic, but a specific kind that has the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one being, and three persons. It's not one person and three persons, or it's one being and three beings. It's one being, God, and the three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not three gods. Co-eternal and co-equal. Because then you get Jehovah's Witnesses deny that Jesus is co-eternal. Same with Mormons. So a violation of monotheism, the opposite, Mormonism is polytheistic. That's something that doesn't get widely publicized. Yes, every planet has its own God, and ours happens to be Jesus. No. And in the future, you can have yours too, and you get to be God over your planet.
You can populate.
Yeah. Right, but it doesn't explain where all the planets came from.
No, it's eternal.
It's missing the core that
yes.
God is God and he created absolutely everything. There is nothing that's right. Not created.
And there was a beginning.